You're listening to SBS News.
Russian forces intensified their bombardment of Mariupol and other cities on Thursday, trapping hundreds of thousands of people, with food and water running short. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said 35,000 people managed to get out on Wednesday from several besieged towns, and more efforts were underway on Thursday in eastern and southern Ukraine, including Mariupol, as well as in the Kyiv suburbs. This comes as White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says the world needs to have its eyes open to the capability, capacity, and pattern of the Russians to use chemical and biological weapons as Russia continues its invasion of Ukraine. The comments follow the Biden administration's warning that Russia might seek to use chemical or biological weapons in Ukraine after the White House rejected Russian claims of illegal chemical weapons development in the country it has invaded. This week, Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova, without evidence, accused Ukraine of running chemical and biological weapons labs with U.S. support. Ms. Psaki called Russia's claim an outright lie and said it could be part of an attempt by Russia to lay the groundwork for its own use of such weapons of mass destruction against Ukraine.
Well, they have a large biological and chemical weapons program, so it's a pattern, but they also have the capacity. Well, I'm not going to get into specific intelligence. We look at all of those factors. And we also know, and one of the reasons, one of the main issue that prompted my Twitter thread yesterday was that Russia has a history also of inventing outright lies like this, which is the suggestion that the United States has a chemical and biological weapons program, or Ukraine does, that they're operating.
Still, the press secretary wouldn't say whether the use of a chemical or biological weapon would constitute a red line and trigger a military response from the United States.
I'm not going to get into hypotheticals. What we're saying right now is they have the capacity and the capabilities. I'm also not going to get into intelligence. But the president's intention of sending U.S. military to fight in Ukraine against Russia has not changed. The president's first and most important objective is the national security and interest of the United States and being clear and direct with the American people. He has been clear and direct with the American people. He is not intending to send U.S. troops to fight in Ukraine against Russia, to start another war, that would be an escalatory step that would not be in our national security interests and not in the interests of NATO.
European leaders have focused on how to help Ukraine in its war with Russia, but the measures discussed are expected to stop short of fulfilling the country's hopes it can join the bloc soon. EU nations have been fully united in backing Ukraine's resistance with unprecedented economic sanctions against Russia, but divisions have started to surface on how fast Brussels could move in integrating Ukraine and how swiftly the 27-nation bloc could sever energy ties with Moscow. Mr. Zelensky wants his country to quickly become an EU member, but an agreement on that point won't be achieved this week. The Ukrainian fast-track bid has received warm support in Eastern European countries, but EU officials have stressed the process could take years, with unanimity among current members required to allow a newcomer into the club. Upon his arrival at the Palace of Versailles, Dutch Prime Minister Mark Rutte said he told Mr. Zelensky Ukraine's addition to the EU cannot be sped up.
There is no such thing as a fast track, and I think what I want to do tonight, first of all, is acknowledge that all of us, and the Netherlands has been one of the first, to come out with military support, with a plea for strong sanctions, and we collectively have achieved a lot in this area. We need to do more potentially. And I want to focus on what can we do for Volodymyr Zelensky tonight, tomorrow, and EU. Accession of Ukraine is something for the long term, if at all. It's not up to the Commission to assess the membership application and then for the Council to take a view on this, but that will take months, maybe years.
French President Emmanuel Macron said on Thursday that it was not realistic to begin EU membership talks with a country at war, responding to a formal request by Ukraine to join the bloc.
We will have a discussion this evening that's important because we need to send a strong signal to Ukraine and the Ukrainians. But at the same time, we have to be careful. Can we begin the membership process with a country at war? I don't think so. Should we close the door and say never? Well, that would be unfair. Can we forget about the balance in the region? We need to be cautious.
Russia's invasion of Ukraine has given the smaller nation's embassy in Washington an unexpected role as a recruitment center for Americans who want to join the fight. Diplomats working out of the embassy in a townhouse in the Georgetown section of the U.S. capital city are fielding thousands of offers from volunteers seeking to fight for Ukraine, even as they work on the far more pressing matter of securing weapons to defend against an increasingly brutal Russian onslaught. Ukraine's military attaché, Major General Boris Kremenetsky, said those wishing to travel to Ukraine to fight are not mercenaries.
If this person fits requirement, we give the person contact in Ukraine, and person goes to Ukraine and then signs a contract with armed forces of Ukraine. So this is not mercenaries who are coming to earn money. Not at all. This is a good people of goodwill who are coming to assist Ukraine to fight for freedom. That is, and we will form foreign legion which will fight with a territorial defense.
U.S. volunteers represent just a small subset of foreigners seeking to fight for Ukraine, who in turn comprise just a tiny fraction of the international assistance that has flowed into the country. The U.S. government discourages Americans from going to fight in Ukraine, which raises legal and national security issues. Meanwhile, the spokesman for the United Nations says it now estimates that 2.3 million people have fled Ukraine. Spokesman Stefan Dujarric also said Thursday that 1.9 million have been internally displaced, according to the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights.
Civilians, whether they stay or leave, must be respected and protected. Safe passage is needed for humanitarian supplies, and we need a system of constant communications with parties to the conflict. In terms of response, humanitarian organizations are deploying additional staff across the country and are working to move supplies to warehouses at different hubs within Ukraine and outside.
Many were hoping to be allowed to evacuate safely through agreed-upon humanitarian corridors on Thursday, but several past attempts have failed amid continued Russian shelling. Assam Al-Ghalib, SBS News.